Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. Here we are again, Scott. Another episode.
Another day in paradise, man.
Yes, absolutely. And we're actually recording this one right after we recorded our advanced threat protection episode because you were on vacation in December. I'm going on vacation the end of January. When we both keep leaving on vacations, it makes it kind of hard to record episodes together.
Inside baseball. Plus, I wanted to throw a context switch at you.
Yeah, we're going to massively switch it up here. We spent the last 30 minutes talking about Office 365 and ATP, and now we're going to go talk about Azure and OMS, Log Analytics, Update Manager, a whole bunch of Azure topics. So kind of like we had talked about in that 2017-2018 episode, you've been playing a lot more in Azure, a lot less in Office 365. So we're going to, again, give you a chance to kind of talk about some of your Azure stuff that you've been playing with, stuff you've found interesting, exciting, confusing, baffling, any of the above.
Any and all of the above. Yeah. So I thought it would be fun to talk about some new preview services, or not services, but preview solutions that are coming out, which are going to have some really compelling functionality and compelling price points and all those things for customers. And the ones that I'm interested in talking about are some things that are a combination of Azure Log Analytics and Operations Management Suite. It's also part of Azure Automation, which I think we've talked about in the past a little bit, you know, in the context of like automating SharePoint environments and things like that. But there's some new solutions that are available in there for doing things like change tracking. You can do update management, and you can also do inventory management for your Azure and non-Azure, potentially non-Azure environments as well, which is pretty darn nifty if you think about it. So what happens is there's this thing in Azure called Azure Automation, right? It was typically built around runbooks. You know, you'd have jobs and schedules and all those things going on. So, you know, I needed a cron service that was native to Azure, could interact with my Azure environment, my VMs, things like that. And that was available to you. And over time, Azure Automation's been built out a little bit, right? So they added things like DSC to that, desired state configuration. So now through an automation account, I can go ahead and add my Azure and non-Azure VMs again, right? With hybrid workers and things like that, and have DSC nodes, DSC configurations that can be pushed down to servers with compliance tracking and things like that built in. So recently they added three new kind of preview things within there. So two of those fall within the configuration management space, which are inventory tracking and change tracking. And then there's also a new update management preview that goes into place. So before we talk about kind of what this stuff is, we'll talk about how to get it all ramped up and geared up and ready to go. So you're going to need a couple things. You're going to need an Azure subscription. Hopefully you have some VMs running in your subscription because we're talking about managing IaaS resources here, right? Right? Not your PaaS stuff or anything like that.
So these are all IaaS-based features then. This is all around managing those VMs.
Yeah, this is all around management of IaaS things. So if you think about the things that DSC can affect, right? Servers or clients, things like that. We're talking about the same thing here. So servers or clients that can interact with some of the Azure agents and things like that.
Okay.
Yep. So what you're going to do is you're going to create an automation account. And you're going to do that automation account the way you would do kind of anyone, right? You're going to walk through either the wizard or deploy from your ARM template. Make sure that you create your run as accounts, both your classic accounts and your new ARM run as accounts, because you know those are going to be used throughout automation. So you're going to want those in place. And that's all part of the wizard and things like that. So automation is up and running, that deployment's done and it's succeeded and you're all ready to go. Then you're going to go and create a a log analytics service, an OMS workspace. So I'm going to create an OMS workspace, and I'm going to create a log analytics service to be associated with that operations management suite workspace, right? When you create that log analytics, you're going to be asked to pick a pricing tier. So that's going to be the pricing for the amount of data that you want to be able to store in that workspace, right? So if you're just doing this for like dev test or play around, go with the free one, right? You can store 500 megs of data in there. Everything's good. You're fine. If you're doing this in a production environment, you have longer term retention goals or needs or things like that for your data that's going to be stored inside of log analytics, then pick a standard tier and get something that's going to have pricing that's appropriate for you. Okay?
Okay. So as you start rolling this out with those different pricing options, there are going to be different services to think about. And I know we're going to jump into some of the pricing of the Azure Automation, but so far we've talked about Azure Automation. We've talked about OMS Log Analytics. So you're going to have to kind of go across these different services that are going to be a part of the solution to figure out what that like production level pricing is going to be, because it's not just a single service in Azure.
Correct. Yep. What we're going to talk about today, these couple of very specific solutions, you're going to be able to get off pretty much for free.
All right. I like free.
Yeah. Again, you know, should your needs change, things like that, your mileage may vary, or probably will vary, depending on what's going on there and how things come together for you. So at this point, we've got an Azure subscription, right? And we've gone ahead, we've created a resource group or multiple resource groups. We've got our automation account. We have an OMS workspace, and we have a log analytics service that's associated with that, right? So we've got all these kind of like general building blocks ready to go and in place. So what you're going to do is you're going to browse over to your automation service, and you're going to have a series of options kind of in the blade that pops out for that service. So right up towards the top, you're going to see this thing that says inventory management. It's going to say inventory and then preview in parentheses under configuration management. You're going to click into that. And what it's going to do is it's going to say, all right, you're in automation, but now tell me where your log analytics and OMS workspace are. So hey, good for us. We already created it with the names we wanted, regions we wanted, things like that, right? So we're going to select that previously created OMS workspace and log analytics service, and we're just going to go ahead and click enable. We're going to be done with that one, right? So that's inventory and change tracking, things like that. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to go down to update management. If we want to use that one, it's going to say update management preview, and go ahead and tie that all together and get it all ready to go. Hopefully you have a cup of coffee. You know, you wait 3 minutes for everything to get integrated and tied together on the back end. And then you can go ahead and start actually configuring this solution and standing it up and putting it in place. So why might you want to do this? Well, I mentioned that you can get away with it and it's pretty much free. So there's some really compelling things that come into place when you think about having environments in Azure that might be disconnected from your existing production environments, but you still might have regulatory or compliance needs around them for inventory management, change tracking, or update management, things like that. Or you might just be a small shop and it's not something you've really ever thought about before, right? Like you're a Windows shop, but you haven't stood up a Windows Server update server, right? You don't have that WSUS thing ready to go. You don't have a third-party solution, anything like that. So all of these things that I'm talking about, so change tracking, inventory management, the configuration management stuff, it is free for Azure VMs that are managed, which is super cool.
So this is like unlimited Azure VMs. This isn't just like 5 Azure VMs, but this is
unlimited,
all of them.
Yep. So as long as the VM lives in that same Azure subscription as that automation account, it's going to have visibility into that automation account because it's in the same subscription, right? Doesn't matter what resource group, anything like that. If it is an Azure resource, it's going to be free. If it's a non-Azure resource, so because automation can do hybrid workers and on-prem workers, things like that. If you do go down that path, pricing can be a little bit weird depending. Like configuration management is free for 5 nodes, but then it's $6 an additional node after that.
Okay, which still isn't a bad price. I mean, $6 to manage a node that's outside of Azure, in my mind, that's still pretty cheap licensing.
It's not too bad, you got to keep in mind these are preview services, right? So I don't know that I pay $6 for them today, but when this stuff GAs, it's probably going to be really super duper nifty and really cool. You know, that's kind of compelling just from, you know, you always have those cost conversations no matter what. This is like free as beer, awesome and all ready to go. So let's think about what Log Analytics is real quick. So Log Analytics, it's that service that's tied to OMS. It's going to let you monitor your cloud and on-prem resources. And really what it's doing is it's pulling out logs from those VMs. So things like your event logs on a Windows server, any of your like config D logs, things like that coming from Linux boxes, those are all being pumped over into that log analytics service. And because they're all there, now we can do queries, visualizations, and really build out operational controls based on all that stuff, right? And have it ready to go.
Okay.
OMS is, and log analytics, it's collecting all that data and it's putting it all in a single place. So now we've got all our data aggregated. Right?
All right. So you and I are both SharePoint guys. We've both managed SharePoint farms where it's like, okay, there's an error in this farm. I go to this web front end. I go to this application server. I go to this search server. I'm trying to figure out maybe which server this error is on in my event log. Now, if I'm running that SharePoint farm and using some of these out of Azure node connectors, or if I have my SharePoint farm running in Azure VMs, I could tie in this log analytics and get all of those event logs, those application logs from my VMs and bundle them all up into this log analytics so I could view all my SharePoint logs in one spot.
Correct. So I would think of this a little bit, go beyond like SharePoint logs and think of like a unified audit log in Office 365. Right?
Okay.
So kind of sitting there and ready to go for you. So really what we're doing is data aggregation across, because log analytics can do more than just VMs. It can do PaaS services. It can pull in your application insights data. It can pull in all sorts of other stuff, right? So it's really kind of like one big aggregated log to rule them all and sitting there ready to go.
Okay. So with the log analytics, that is one of these that can span even beyond the IaaS stuff into some of that PaaS stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So you could potentially leverage that OMS workspace for other things, right? But we'll just kind of keep it constrained to VMs today. So what happens is within OMS and that service, there's these things called solutions that are ready to go for you. So there are a ton of solutions available to OMS today, and they cover everything from Active Directory assessments. You can do like Active Directory replication. You can have alert management. Like I said, you can tie in your application insights. You can tie in Azure SQL, your DNS analytics, containers, malware assessments, networks, service maps, you name it. Even Office 365 can be tied into your OMS workspaces and ready to go. So there's two specific solutions that are going to get installed in your OMS workspace as a part of this and as things get geared up. So there's a change tracking solution that gets spun up, and then there's an update management solution as well. So once you've gone ahead and you've gone into Azure Automation and you've tied in that OMS account and you've hit enable and let it go, it's actually deploying some OMS solutions for you, right? That change tracking and update management solution are going to get spun up and get just geared and all ready to go. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go back and we're going to go to things like our change tracking and our inventory and our update management and things like that. And we're going to go ahead and add our VMs in. So if you do something like click into inventory, there's going to be a big button at the top of that blade. It's going to say add an Azure VM. And that's it. You're just going to go in and add your Azure VM and be ready to go. So once you've added it to inventory or change tracking, that VM is going to be all set and ready to go in both. And then we're going to go and we're going to do the same thing for update management. We're going to go ahead and enable that solution on a VM by VM basis. So it's kind of annoying to do some of this stuff through the portal. So, you know, you might want to script it out or think about that, especially if you've got hundreds of VMs, because it really is like a click and wait kind of affair to go ahead and do the deployments and get everything set up and ready to go, right? So now once we've got all our VMs tied together and we're ready to go, so now we can start doing some of these visualizations and cool stuff out of here and really get to like hey, this is why we did all the work to wire everything up and put it together. So let's talk about kind of these specific solutions and what goes into them. So change tracking. So if you think about your environment, have you ever worked in a place where they've said, you go ahead and you go through your change management procedure and you do a deployment and something breaks, and then you go ask everybody and everybody says, I didn't change anything. Well, nothing changed.
That never happens. Nobody ever changes anything without telling anybody else.
Yeah. So yeah. what this solution...
That was a little bit of sarcasm there. Just in case you missed it over the podcast, yeah.
So what this solution is doing is, and I want everybody to keep in mind, this is providing coverage for Windows and Linux VMs, not just for Windows VMs, right? Like this is not constrained to just Windows servers or things like that. So the change tracking solution is tracking changes across both Windows and Linux for Windows files, registry keys, Windows services, and any daemon changes over on the Linux side. So that means every file change on your server getting tracked, right? So I saw a file was deleted, I saw a file was updated, I saw a file was changed. Every registry change, well, did we install that update and it changed something? So we've got like Meltdown Inspector, right? Well, now I'm seeing that my registry keys for my AV vendors, that's not being updated. Maybe they're not like a compliant vendor and now I'm not going to be able to push more updates or things like that. So hugely powerful. And it's all just kind of sitting there waiting for you to go in and view compliance and see what it's doing. And the cool thing is, because it's using log analytics, we have the ability to go ahead and say, let me leverage the out-of-the-box visualizations and kind of compliance checks that are available either through Azure Automation and what surface they are reading out of log analytics, or let me go over to log analytics and view it all over on that side of the fence. Or maybe I want to go in and do advanced analytics, like I'm not finding the visualizations to be in place or anything like that. So you can actually go ahead and create your own queries and, you know, views based on the data that's available in log analytics. And then you could push that out into your tool of choice, right? That could go into Excel or Power BI or anything else. So even though this is monitoring just Azure, maybe you do want to go ahead and tie it into existing data, maybe coming out of your on-prem systems for like Splunk or something like that, right? Where maybe it's not all tied together, but now I have a way that I can start to provide those visualizations and kind of pop everything up and put it to where it needs to be. So, I mean, that's super cool, right? That we get change tracking out of the box for free, as long as we go ahead and turn it on.
That's an important step there. Turn it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's super cool. I can see how that could be really powerful again, because you run across it all the time. Somebody makes a change, somebody updates something, changes a web.config file in SharePoint, and all of a sudden everything breaks and nobody's ever going to admit to it. So I'm definitely going to have to go play with this one a little bit more and start playing with these previews.
One of the things that I find is pretty confusing for most folks when they come and turn these things on is there's different frequencies for when things are tracked and how things come together and how that data is ultimately surfaced up. So it's pretty confusing because you turn all this stuff on and there's not data that's immediately available to you. And that's because all those agents that are running on your servers that these solutions have pushed down for OMS and automation and things, they need to pump that data over to log analytics. It needs to be aggregated, potentially go through a little bit of ETL on the back end that Microsoft's handling for you, and then be presented to you, right? So if you do change tracking specifically, that can take anything from 5 minutes to 50 minutes to show up. So let's call it like 5 minutes to an hour. Realistically, you're going to be looking at about an hour before you see any data in there, because things like Windows registries and Windows file deltas and things like that, they're all tracked on different intervals, right? So like Windows files, they're tracked every 30 minutes, but only if there's a change. If it goes more than 24 hours, then it's just snapshot day to day. But then Linux is 15 minutes. Instead of 30 minutes. And that's all kind of hard-coded into the solution on the back end, right? There's not too much you can do to change that, make it go faster, make it do anything like that along the way. And then, you know, it differs for registry changes, some of those daemon changes, anything like that that pops up. So keep that in mind. Once you've turned this stuff on, you got to just hang out a minute, like take a deep breath, go get a donut, cup of coffee, whatever it takes for you, just to make sure that you're in a good place when you come back and look at it. And then the other thing to keep in mind is if you're using these things for like compliance or remediation. So I've seen some organizations where they walk in and they say, all right, so we're trying out this feature and it says that this thing was installed. So we cleaned up the server and we got it uninstalled, right? Like the software got uninstalled, but now OMS is still saying the old thing's installed and it's not showing that we made the change. Well, again, it's because we've got to wait based on that update frequency and some of the things that are going on in there, right? So just give it time. I promise it's doing stuff in the back end and all ready to go. So that's the change tracking stuff. Inventory management is kind of in the same vein. It's leveraging the same change tracking solution. But what it's doing is rather than giving you like file and registry changes, it's actually showing you software changes. So, you know, you install a new program on a server and it shows up in the control panel on Windows Server, you know, add remove programs. That's going to surface now over inside of that inventory management solution in your automation account or in log analytics. So again, all available and sitting there ready to go for you.
Okay. So do you know inventory management, just because this actually came up with one of my clients the other day, that like we said, this could extend beyond your Azure VMs, but they were actually looking to get an inventory of all of the software installed on all of their end users' computers. Is this like the inventory track, is this something you can install on Windows 10? And obviously you'd probably have to pay for it based on the nodes, but then extend it out to your entire organization so you could track not just servers and software on servers, but track software across all of the machines in your environment?
You could. I would consider this a little bit more of like an ongoing compliance solution, right? Not like a one-time discovery thing like that.
Okay.
So for that client, they'd probably better served by something else. So say they were trying to figure out like who had Dropbox installed. Maybe they're eligible for like Office 365 and Azure AD Cloud App Discovery, right? So that can go out, but that's an agent install, so that can be a little bit weird. They might even be better suited just to run MAP, Microsoft's assessment and planning toolkit. So agentless install can reach out to both clients and servers and do some of that inventory and tracking things.
Okay, so this is geared much more towards that server, like you said, the server, the compliance, not necessarily org-wide.
Much, much more. And you can kind of tell that when you go ahead and turn it on and you see like specifically add Azure VM, right? Add non-Azure computer. It's built around server tracking at the end of the day. And that's kind of what you're going to use it for. That's change tracking and inventory management in a nutshell. I would encourage anybody that turns this stuff on, if you do go down this path and light it up, you might find that the visualizations or the data over in your automation account aren't giving you what you want. Go over to the log analytics workspace and the OMS workspace, and you'll get much richer visualizations, the pre-built dashboards, all those kinds of things, right? Because it's all part of the solution and it's sitting over there waiting and ready to go for you.
Yeah, you and I had a conversation even before we started this about why is some of this even necessarily in automation? Like why we have to go to even this automation blade to find it, because there's not a whole lot that actually shows up there. It's not like it's deploying runbooks, it's deploying DSC configurations. It's just kind of there.
Yeah. Microsoft.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like you had said, be aware that just because you're pushing all this out in automation, it doesn't mean that's the place you necessarily want to go to get all the information.
Yeah, you're probably going to leverage both. And it might even depend on the audience for who's accessing the information. Because I can have all those rich role-based access controls, right, RBAC, into my Azure portal and environment specifically. So let me go ahead and do those things where they make sense. Because I might want to give my admins access to everything that's available in the automation account, where I might want other people to be only a reader and only over in the OMS portal, right? And let them go in that way. So it gives you a ton of flexibility if you understand where the security controls are and kind of the lines in the sand when it comes to some of that stuff.
All right. Good to know.
All right. So let's talk about update management real quick. So update management is all built around managing operating system security updates, again, for both your Windows and Linux computers. doesn't really matter where it's deployed, right? Azure, you can manage your on-prem environments. I will also couch that on-prem environment could also mean another cloud provider, right? Like maybe you're an Azure and AWS subscriber and you want to manage everything through OMS and update management. Guess what? You can. That's what hybrid workers are for, right? Ready to go.
All right. Because you might want to, like, you might want to deploy a patch for, I don't know, Spectre Meltdown.
Yep.
There's
yep.
just a couple security patches recently that you might want to push out.
Something like that. Yep. So update management, it's giving you those operating system security updates. It's also giving you a way to quickly visualize and assess your status for any available updates on any of the computers that have that OMS agent installed on them, right? So now the cool thing is not only with update management can I see that a server needs an update, I can also push that update and do that remediation straight from Azure Automation.
Wow.
Yep. So if I'm seeing that KB, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is missing on 2 out of my 3 servers, all I have to do is go into Azure Automation and I get that visualization and I say, oh, it's been assessed. It's not compliant based on my compliance rules that I've configured. Let me go ahead and push that update and kind of click a button and it will just go ahead and push things out for you. So now this is a little bit where automation starts to make sense, because now what's happening is we're not just using OMS, which is kind of a one-way feed out, right? Let me take the log data and push it out. Now it's going to use the automation worker to go ahead and check things, and the automation worker can handle that deployment for me, right? It can run through any pre-flighting, checking those steps, actually go ahead and push the update, do the install through the local Windows update agent, and you're kind of all set and ready to go. And you know, it's doing the same thing through Linux. So same kind of rules apply over here as in change tracking. So there are some things to keep aware of as far as how often you're getting compliance data out and things like that. So for Windows computers, so servers or clients, compliance scans are performed every 12 hours, and that's just the default and ready to go. And then what happens as well, the scans for update compliance are initiated within 15 minutes every time the Microsoft monitoring agent is restarted. Or it can be like prior to a software installation, after an update installation, things like that. So if you want to do like a really quick, you know, like 12 hours isn't enough time for me, and you're able to reboot the servers within 15 minutes, you'll start to have some data flowing into log analytics and kind of sitting over there. Linux computers are every 3 hours by default, and compliance scans, again, 15 minutes within that agent being deployed and ready to go. So the really cool thing about this is, again, you're getting all of that update tracking and everything ready to go, is using Windows Server Update Services or Microsoft Update, depending on your deployment and how you've configured things. So you might need like outbound internet connections to be able to go to get to Windows Update and things like that, and actually be able to have servers retrieve your updates. It's not like OMS and automation are downloading the update to that service and then pushing it in through the hybrid worker. This is the server saying, hey, reach out and go ahead and install and do what they need to do, right?
Got it. Okay.
And be all up and running. So the nifty thing about this is, now I've gone through, I got that nice single pane of glass, I'm ready to go. I get my compliance, my environment, my OS updates. I get to see critical missing updates, any kinds of things that happen there. Same rules apply as change tracking, right? So visualizations may not be as rich in Azure Automation as you want them to be. So go ahead and hop over to your OMS workspace where things are going to be lit up like a Christmas tree and look a whole lot better for you.
Very cool. Sounds good. I like the solutions. And again, they're kind of bringing all the stuff into Azure where it gives you that, like you said, a nice central place to manage all of these VMs now, just leveraging some of these services that they're lighting up, creating, enabling throughout Azure.
If you manage VMs, everybody should have a play with this. I'll also make sure that we include a link in the show notes to a recent Tuesday with Corey episode where they actually walk through some of the update management and things like that.
Awesome. Perfect. Sounds great. Well, I think that about does us for time again. Another episode in the books.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scott. We'll talk to you again later. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.